Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text for today is Psalm 130, verses 1 through 8. I will not reread it, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. When Luther was sitting around with some friends, he was asked by one of his associates, which were the best psalms? Luther responded, the Pauline Psalms. And when his companions at the table pressed him to say which these were, he answered, Psalm 32, Psalm 51, Psalm 130, and Psalm 143. Psalm 130 is most suited for confession because of its total dependence on God's mercy. The psalm admits that if God kept a record of sin, all people would be condemned. Thanks be to God, he does not cling to a record of our sin, but is our forgiving God. God not only forgives, he himself redeems us, his people. He redeems us from our iniquities. That is, he ransoms us back by paying the price of our sins. Therefore, we are encouraged to look forward to God's redemption in Christ Jesus with confidence in our psalm. The psalmist starts, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. The depths is our deep outward and inward distress over sin. Sin sinks us into the depths from which we cannot save ourselves. Sin, both actual and original, separates us from God. Knowledge of this terrible situation moves the penitent to join their voices with the psalmist and cry out in sorrow and despair. The penitent knows that self-help and positive thinking cannot rescue him or her out of these depths. In faith, we pray that God's ears will be turned to our urgent plea. All people are in this terrible lost condition. However, not all people will realize this in their lifetime. As this sinful nature causes a deadly numbness to come over the person, which enables them to feel all is well, when in fact all is dead. And so the sinner falls deeper and deeper into the depths of sin and are not able to see the reality of their own separation from God. In contrast, by the grace of God, the penitent does recognize their separation from God and the danger related to that and cries out to God in mercy. The penitent's guilt plunges them into sorrow and despair over their sin. The penitent recognizes their sinful condition and calls out in desperation for God's help. Through the working of God's law, the penitent is left to confess their sin and their inability to save themselves. By God's grace, the penitent trusts that the Lord is merciful and able and willing to help. As the psalmist writes, O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ear be attentive to the voice of my plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared. Luther writes on this, what good would it do if all creatures were gracious to me and disregarded and forgave my sins, but God marked and retained them? And again, what does it matter if all creatures heap sins upon me and hold them against me as long as God forgives and pays no attention to them? The psalmist does not remain in the depths of his sin. He knows that the Lord is the forgiving God. If God kept track of all our sins and kept them always in remembrance, then there would be no hope for any one of us. Even though God has perfect knowledge, He has perfect knowledge of our sins. He does not charge them against us because Christ Jesus has paid for them. As St. Paul writes, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by the grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." With God, there is forgiveness only because of Jesus. God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting our sins against us. Jesus, God made flesh, lived then the perfect life without sin, fulfilling God's law in every way so that He could be the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Recently, as our culture has become woke, I don't know if you've heard that word, I'm sorry, but that's what they're calling it, woke. I call it stupidity, but that's another issue. A woke pastor was saying that Jesus had sinned and he had to repent of his sin. Particularly the account he was talking about was the woman, the Syrophoenician woman that he called a dog. He said Jesus used a racial slur and had to repent. What this misinformed young pastor was trying to say is apparently he doesn't read the Bible and has no concept of what Jesus does. Because if Jesus has sinned, then all our sins are left on us. And we have no salvation. Interestingly enough, his own woke nature, that we would call sinful nature, enabled him to get rid of any need for anybody to go to his church ever again in 1 minute. You see, it's really that simple. Why do we do this? Why do we try to fit God in a box and make Him to be us instead of look at His how He reveals Himself? He doesn't keep a record. The psalmist in Psalm 103, He throws our sins as far as the east is from the west, never to remember them again. Not because He couldn't, but because He has chosen by the blood of Christ never to do so. Jesus took upon Himself all our sins. If you want to call Jesus a sinner, there's only one place you can do it, and it's when He's hanging on the cross, because there He's the greatest sinner ever to exist, because He has every single sin that ever exists on Him. And He takes them to the depth of His grave. But they're not His sins, they're ours. And 3 days later, He rises from that death, caused by our sins, declaring for us peace. Victory. We are now reconciled to God, not because of something we do, but because of everything that Jesus did do. Now, through faith in Christ Jesus, God declares us forgiven and imputes or credits to us Christ's righteousness. The psalmist who lived long before Jesus' birth still knew and believed that God would send the Messiah who brings forgiveness, and so he confidently proclaimed, "But with you there is forgiveness that you may be feared." The fear of God that flows from forgiveness is not terror of dread, but reverence, love, and honor for God for what He gives, our forgiveness. This penitence and fear includes faith and is worked by God through the Holy Spirit, through the hearing of the Word of God, and connected to that Word, connected to water, and Word connected to bread and wine. Where God brings us our Lord Jesus Christ and joins Him to us, and with Him, forgiveness of our sins and the certainty of our salvation. The penitent psalmist then we join with, for he has two kinds of fear at the same time. There is the fear over sin and a fear of the old sinful nature, which separates us from God and brings us to call out in terror like fear and despair to God. Yet there is also a fear of respect and hope for God, who the penitent is confident will forgive his sins solely for Christ's sake. Thus, on this side of eternity, there will always be a tension and a longing within the penitent. And so Luther writes, as he continues to comment on this psalm, "Therefore, the fear of the judgment of God must always exist in the right kind of person, because the old Adam, whom God hates and resists. Furthermore, with this fear, there must be hope for grace, because of the mercy which is favorable to this fear, because of the new man, who is an enemy of the old, and therefore agrees with the judgment of God. Thus fear and hope go hand in hand. And just as the judgment of God produces fear, so fear results in crying out, and the cry brings mercy." Here ends Luther. The tension in which we live between the old Adam and the new man is part of the penitent's life this side of eternity. The struggle of the penitent Christian in this life are viewed, well, as a blessing from God. Not what we're in the middle of them too often, but they are. God blesses the penitent throughout the painful, patient waiting of our new life in Christ. He is with us during the patient waiting in His Word and His Sacrament. Therein He gives His Word and promise, which the Holy Spirit uses to strengthen our faith and comfort us with hope. To this Luther writes, "He, that being God, blesses them, that is His children, with a contradictory and disharmonious thing. For hope and despair are opposites. Yet His children must hope in despair. For fear is nothing else than the beginning of despair, and hope is the beginning of recovery. And these two things, direct opposites by nature, must be in us, because in us two natures are opposed to each other, the old man and the new man. The old man must fear, despair, and perish. The new man must hope, be raised up, and stand." Here ends Luther. Through His word of hope, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our living triune God, pulls us out of the depths of sin and despair and raises us up. Furthermore, because Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, we can trust that God promises the ultimate deliverance for each one of us, eternal life with Him in heaven by grace through faith in Christ. In this God-given faith, we, the penitent, not only pray for ourselves, but also invites others to await patiently in the same hope in the Lord. The psalmist proclaims, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption, and He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." God's steadfast love in Christ is for us all. God's redemption in Christ is for us all. As the true Israelite, the true penitent confesses their sins, trust in God's deliverance in Christ, and waits patiently on the Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.